Welcome to Within the Realm. I'm your host, Steve Garrett. Here at Within the Realm, we believe that there's the story behind everything, even in small things and everyday people. And when you know their story, they become not so everyday. Sometimes there's even more than one story. Earlier in this season, we presented The Big Comeback, the story of Hannah Pithers, a personal trainer experiencing a serious health issue. She overcame it, but she had to do a few things that she had previously wished to avoid. She now finds that she is contacted by others that suffer from Crohn's disease and other issues on her Instagram account for advice and encouragement. That Instagram account address is HannahDawn_fitness, Hannah with two H's. Early in our interview, Hannah had this to say about her now husband, Matt.
I knew he loved me very, very much because he dealt with a lot.
I found that in itself could lead to quite a story. I met with Matt and Hannah for an interview from Matt's perspective. They are a great team, and it shows in their tag team approach to interviewing. I asked Matt to lead us through the story.
She wasn't very open about her situation in the very beginning.
Who would be?
Yeah, I don't blame her. I mean, who would ever want to talk about that kind of stuff? It's a difficult thing for even her to process, not alone to a guy that she's just starting to date again. We had met years before, and she definitely wasn't sick before that. So I think I expected her health to be kind of how I left her, you know, before we stopped dating. I figured she was probably still healthy and things were rolling. But I think she had called me one afternoon while I was training at the gym and saying something about she had a test done. And they said that they're almost positive that she either had colitis or some type of Crohn's issue. And I, at that point, had no idea what that meant. I'd heard of Crohn's disease, but I had no idea what it was. You know, you go to Google and you start looking at stuff and you're like, uh-oh.
Things got real fast, didn't they? Right. Describe that a little bit.
After a few trips to the ER with her when we were dating and stuff like that, I realized that she had a major problem. In my head, I kind of always kept it to the point where I was like, you know what, she's sick right now, but, you know, they're going to find a medication. Things will be fine. Like, it's going to be, you know, something that's here for a minute. And then as soon as they find the right combination of drugs and all that kind of stuff, then everything will be A-okay. So that's kind of my mindset for the beginning. I try to keep my emotions in check. And also, I didn't try to overthink things because I felt like once I started that process, I would start becoming more depressed, more anxious, basically. So I definitely tried to talk it through with some of my friends, and a lot of people didn't understand, and I didn't straight up tell everybody, like, hey, this is what's going on. They know the gist of everything, but everyone's like, oh, it's no big deal, it's no big deal, it'll get better. And yeah, I just tried to keep it very lighthearted in the very beginning. I didn't try to overthink things at all. Like I said, I figured it was going to be a medical thing where we could just take some pills and then it would kind of solve itself.
It had to be difficult. How difficult was it?
It was difficult. It changed my lifestyle a little bit. I mean, especially when you're working into a serious relationship, talking about marriage, all that kind of stuff. You guys do everything together and you quickly realized, especially when her symptoms got really bad, it was like one of those deals where you're like, hey, let's go on a date. But then you had to think, well, where's the bathroom at? Is there food that she can eat? You know, how is she feeling right now? Does she want to just lay in bed? The lifestyle definitely changed a lot. Friendships even changed a little bit because people would be asking to do stuff. You don't want to be completely too honest. You want to keep, you know, a little bit of privacy amongst, especially a disease like this, you know. So there were a few times, especially where friends of ours would be like, hey, let's do a couple's date. And you would have to be like, we really can't do it right now. She's not feeling the best. And, oh, okay, well, maybe next week. It was one of those deals. It also messed with a little bit of my work life, too, because we do personal training. So a lot of early mornings, late evenings, all that kind of stuff, especially when we got married. If she had a rough night, I had a rough night because you're laying in bed with the same person who has to run to the bathroom all the time. So I am a light sleeper, so as soon as she would get up, some shuffle in the bed, I would be, you know, enough to wake you up, you know, knock you out of REM sleep. Then I'd kind of fall back asleep, and she'd, you know, mosey back into the bed, and then you'd realize about 20 minutes later she's doing the same thing again. Yeah. So I had this, like, constant you'd wake up every morning, and then I'd have.
There would be some nights where it'd be like it once or twice every hour. I'd have to get up, so I like would go sleep on the couch a lot of the times because I knew it would waking him up. All the time.
Yeah, so I knew she was dealing with. I mean, I knew, and it was difficult, but at the same time, it was like even in my work life and stuff like that, you get up in the morning at 6 a.m., drive 30 minutes, go meet a client. And then they'd be like, oh, I stayed up till midnight last night. I'm so tired. And I'd be like looking over it. I'm like, don't even talk to me about your problems type of thing, you know. You could even ask probably some of my closer friends. I got pretty short with people's complaints. So because nothing could top what she was going through in our life at the time. It definitely took like, don't complain to me about your life. My wife's life's really bad. And mine's not as bad, but it's not, you know, great either.
He went through all of it with me, though.
Yeah.
Even as Hannah's health steadily declined, they continued to hold out hope for the right medicine to come along.
You know, I was usually hearing secondhand information. They would tell Hannah, you know, over the phone, or, you know, she'd go to an appointment and she'd tell me what was going on. Usually, especially in those cases, they're never going to just straight up tell you, like, there's nothing's going to solve your problem. Usually, like, oh, we have a new medication. We're going to have you try this out for a little bit. You need to stick with this for so long, you know. So there was always, like, hope. You know, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just... This is a rough patch, but
keep
it's gonna
hope. Otherwise, it would just be like, yeah, like you said, we just anxiety and depression.
And what kind of kept me going was the thought of, I love her, and I know if the tables were turned, she would do the exact same thing for me. I always kind of held on to that for the most part. Was like, life's never going to be perfect, and you're going to marry people, and you know things are going to happen, and you want to find someone that's going to stick with you no matter what the process is. And I felt like she would have done the same thing for me. I don't think people go through what we went through the first year or two. You always hear, I even talk to my parents and I'm just like, this is what's going on. And my dad, like, literally on the phone was like, yeah, that's not really great. And he's like, I don't really have an answer for you. Like, me and your mother have never gone through this type of thing, you know, like quickly realizing a lot of people have not gone through, you know, situations like this.
I was bad or worse during that time, like kind of.
Well, last year for sure.
The last year was pretty rough. Like last year around this time was the hardest part. And you were eventually just like, maybe we should just do the surgery. It's going to make you better. And like whatever will make you better.
Yeah. At some point it was like, I always held out. I didn't want to have surgery, obviously. No. Heard her talk about the process the whole time. And she was like, well, eventually they said I might have to do this. And I was always like, oh, but you won't have to do that. You know, you want to be positive best you can be. I mean, no one's going to be like, yeah, you're going to definitely have the worst surgery you could ever have right out of the bat. I always kind of kept it to the medications and stuff like that, thinking like that was going to be our biggest breakthrough. I mean, you see the commercials. Those people are super happy. You know, they're like really worried in the beginning. They look it for the bathroom and then they start taking this medication. It's like, boom. You know, they got all their friends, are smiling, and they're happy and all that kind of stuff. So
go to carnivals and stuff.
Exactly. They go to carnivals, they eat whatever they want to eat. That's what we're talking about here, is that's how life should be, but it's not sometimes. So that's what kind of kept me going was those commercials sure. You know, like you're like, hey, you're taking this medication, and that person's super happy. So that's going to be you in a little bit. Like, that's how I, you know, try to play it off.
Despite what the commercials might suggest, Hannah was running out of options.
And we were planning on going to go visit our families, do the whole thing, go out, hang out with my family. But we quickly realized, I guess, she had a test, the week of Christmas?
It was the 21st of December. Yeah. I went in for a FMT transplant, which was supposed to be, you know, another one of those...
Fix-alls
that was hopefully going to make me better.
And this, from my perspective, was like, this would really work.
Yeah.
Because she had always been telling me about this. Like, you got to go to certain states to get this done, or you got to go to... Was it England?
I was going to go to the Bahamas
to
get it done. But then I got C. diff a few times.
Yeah.
Because you have to have C. diff 3 times, and then you're eligible for this. In the U.S., you're eligible for this. So I go in for the procedure, and they tell me that I'm not allowed to leave the hospital. Like, you are way too bad. You could go home for Christmas, but then I'm afraid that you won't make it back to the hospital kind of thing. They just scheduled it for, like, the next day, emergency surgery.
And that was kind of the moment where I felt like everything kind of crashed down for sure. Like, it was like, all right, this isn't going to play out like those commercials, like, type of thing. Like, this is real. I remember calling my parents, telling them the results, because I got basically a phone call from her mom, I think, because you had gone in for this procedure.
Yeah, I went with my mom.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she was out of it. So her mom calls me and tells me, well, they're going to keep Hannah. And she's actually going to have to stay here and have surgery. And I'm like, well, what kind of surgery? And they're like, they're going to take her colon. And I remember being like, that's probably all my years on this earth, probably the hardest thing I've ever heard. You know, that was tough. That hit me pretty hard. And I got off the phone with her mom. And then kind of for the first time in a long time, she always complains that I'm never emotional. I actually cried for a few minutes. I called my mom because I always do. I'm a mama's boy, I think, and told her the news, and they're really awesome. They ended up canceling their plans and hightailing it out this way because she was going to go into surgery in less than 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah, they showed
there was no process to that news because it was like, this is happening now, and she's not even leaving type of thing. So it wasn't even, you couldn't really comprehend. I was like, okay, I guess I need to be strong and go to the hospital right now and be with her. So, yeah. It's like any crazy news that you get. It's not, there's no way of you really knowing what to do. No, you need to show up and be there.
Right.
You know? And I mean, up to this point, before the surgery and building up to this, you couldn't take a trip. I mean, there was no such thing as vacations or even going to the grocery store. So after the surgery, to be able to actually do something like that was pretty amazing. We ended up actually enjoying the trip.
Opened up our social life a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you know that life was back to normal or as close to normal as it was going to be?
I would say within a month or so after the surgery, she obviously started putting on some weight. And I could tell immediately, obviously, the problem had been removed, if you want to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't in any pain. So the lifestyle changed pretty drastically as far as that stuff goes. Like I said, every night was her usually spending most of the time in bed, not eating dinner with me, sleeping, to all of a sudden now she's up. Oh man, like I can't believe that she's actually back to working out. She's actually taking clients again. It was pretty drastic. Within 4 weeks or so after the surgery, it was a pretty much a life-changing experience where I was like, okay, this is the Hannah I know, where before she was more of a shell of herself. I think people that met you when you were sick, they had no idea.
Yeah.
The real Hannah, I guess, because it was like, you know, after she had the surgery, like, wow, you look way different. I didn't know you were this much fun, like type of thing. Like people weren't saying that, but they're just like, I didn't know Hannah was like that, you know? Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, this is who I married. You know, it wasn't the sick girl. It was the fun one.
Yeah.
Although they worked hard to keep a positive outlook, they had one big disappointment.
Yeah. We originally had a honeymoon planned. This was before the surgery, and this is kind of still where she was dealing with back and forth trips to the ER. We had been very hopeful after we got married that we were actually going to be able to take this trip to Iceland that one of her clients or friends, I guess, set up for us, and it was all booked up and ready to go. And about, I guess, I don't know when we made that decision or when that wasn't going
to
happen.
It was a week before.
Yeah.
I had gone into the emergency room to try to get better before we went on this trip, and he's like, I don't think that you should go, like, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you're gonna get better.
Yeah, we were going to Iceland, so it wasn't like the most convenient places to go, especially with her situation. There's like a restroom every 500 miles or something like that.
Yeah, well, we had planned a trip to just like drive around. It was a lot of time in the car, we wanted to do outdoors things, and like it just didn't make sense for me to go when I was that sick. We ended up canceling that.
So fast forward to after surgery, we did end up taking the trip in September of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. So it was a great time. It was cool to be able to check that off the list to say that, hey, we finally went. I talked to a client about our upcoming trip to Iceland. She was like, oh, I never thought about doing Iceland. I was like, yeah, you should put it on the list of places to go. We're going to be doing this in another couple months, all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, fast forward, obviously our trip didn't happen. And she actually booked a trip to Iceland, so she came back and was like, oh, it's so great. It's the best time ever. It was hard to be happy for somebody in that situation because I was kind of like, I was supposed to go on that trip, you know, type of thing. So that was kind of discouraging on the end. But it made us more determined, especially when she got better, that we were definitely going to be doing it.
Fortunately, the story has a happy ending. But it's a story that can impact other people's stories as well.
I mean, I knew she was sick, but, you know, you just don't expect to be like, that's a major hurdle to step over
in
your first year.
If we could get through that, we could get through anything.
Yeah, it's definitely
going to be the hardest.
There's not many stresses in my life when you think about where we were 2 years ago. You know, before it was like, am I going to come home and she's going to be dead?
It's horrible.
It's a weird concept to think about, but especially towards the end.
Maybe she'll be dead this time.
No. Oh, no. You never wish that. But in all reality,
yeah.
I mean, she was under, you know, she usually walks around at 145 and you were almost right around 100 pounds at the time. I mean, it wasn't pretty. Yeah. I mean, if you saw her, you knew something was up. You knew she either had an eating disorder, cancer, something. It wasn't looking good. So I just never knew what we were going to actually be coming across every day when she was sick. But yeah, it becomes a way of life. Like I said, it's a difficult thing to do because you're not the victim in this, I guess. You're not the person that's affected by the actual pain of the sickness, but you are obviously dealing with all the outcome of that. And that's difficult. It was definitely one of those things where people are always like, how's Hannah? Everyone was really good about that. Mm-hmm. But I also had some really good friends.
And like, how are you?
Yeah. And that was really, it helped me a lot of times too, because it is, if you have someone who's sick, there's always someone who's strong standing next to that mm-hmm. person. And I feel like sometimes, not to even make it about me, but you do need to be uplifted a little bit, you know, have a little bit of encouragement for that person, because it's difficult. They're walking through it too. Mm-hmm. They don't have the pain, the physical side of things, but they do have to stay strong for that other person.
If you saw someone going through a similar kind of thing that you went through, what advice would you give them?
You know, it's the very common answer of take one day at a time, because if you overthink things and think of it as a long journey, it's too much to even comprehend, I think, sometimes. Surround yourself with good people, you know, good friends that are going to support you. You know, stand by the person who's dealing with what they're dealing with, because, you know, even though you have to carry that burden, she's dealing with way more than that. That's what really kind of helped me. It's not about you. It's about them. You know, you have to try to keep them strong. It's been a learning process, I guess. It's made me less selfish, I think. Before that, little things could have bothered me, and now everything's much smaller as far as problems go and all that kind of stuff. Your perspectives have definitely changed, and especially in the line of work that we're in, we get to talk to people on a daily basis, and what are you walking through, how's life, that kind of stuff. And I don't know if it helps me offer advice or let people understand that, you know, whatever they're going through sometimes isn't as big, because it could always be way worse, you know, type mm-hmm. of thing. It just take one day at a time and to realize that usually there are way worse situations out there that you could be walking through than what you're currently walking through. A normal day is actually a really cool day when you think about it. If you're mm-hmm. dealing with someone who's actually sick all the time, a normal, boring day is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As weird as that sounds.
We hoped for a normal day all the time.
Right. So enjoy the normal days.
Yep.
Because you never know when you're not going to have one.
Oh, it's gold.
Thanks for joining us on Within the Realm. We hope you enjoyed this episode. You can find this episode's companion, The Big Comeback, and other episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, and our website, withinpodcast.com. Don't forget to leave a review when you subscribe. This episode marks the end of our second season. We'll be returning next year with new stories from our special point of view. But until then, feel free to share our earlier episodes with your family and friends. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or you can contact us at contact@withinpodcast.com. Be sure to check out our social media accounts for announcements about the show and recommendations for other podcasts you may find interesting. Our theme music is provided by 556 and a half. And as always, thanks for listening.